Sunday of 2024. It's pretty crazy how, when we consider what time, how time truly works, even though from our perspective it seems that it flies, but in reality time doesn't stop moving the same way it does every day. But yet here we are now on the new year, on the new opportunity and new beginnings to be here together and to once more get back to more of the same. To our visitors, to our friends, we thank you for being here this morning. We welcome you to the Southeast Church of Christ, and we invite you, we welcome that if you are willing to share your contact information with us, we'd love to keep in contact with you. And if you don't mind, we would love to have a conversation to get to know you better, and of course, to allow, you know, for you to get to know us better as well. So, brethren, of course, thank you all for being here this morning. It's great to be back. To the brothers who were covering me while I had a little bit of time to rest, I want to thank you all for always being ready and for always having that disposition to be able to cover this position to continue to give our God our worship in spirit and in truth. So thank you all for your prayers. Thank you all for your covering, and thank you for being here again this morning. At this time, if you have any cell phones, any electronics or tablets, if you can please make sure that they are in the off position, or if you can put them on vibrate so that we will not have distractions during this day. We want our focus to belong to our God, since today is the first day of the week, and we know that we assemble here together to give our God our very best. So once more, if you can, if you will, please double check, triple check your phones, your tablets, your electronics, to make sure that what we are going to give our God is our very best. So if you will, let's begin with a word of prayer, and we will begin our day of worship with a Bible study. So if you will, please bow with me. Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, hallowed be thy name. Father, we come before thy throne of grace to the avenue of prayer to give thee all honor and glory. We are truly grateful, Father, for the opportunity that thou hast granted us, not only by giving us the health and the time, but also, Father, the life to be able, Lord, to arrive at this location safely. Father, for those of our brethren or friends who are still getting ready to come over, Lord, we ask that you be with them, and we ask that you protect them. Father, thank you once more for always providing for us, Father, all these blessings that descend from above, and allow us to always be grateful, Father, in thy sight. That as we prepare, Father, to begin this year, that we do so in a manner that is pleasing in thy sight, and that, Father, it may only be the beginning that will lead to more growth spiritually, and that will lead, Father, to more oil for our lamps, Lord. That the world, Father, may see the increase of our light shining, Father, so that they may have a better idea of the direction, Father, to find you. So that through our example, Lord, they see that indeed thou art alive and that thy salvation is still available today. Father, for those of our brethren who, because of their sickness or because of their situation, will not be able to join us today, bless them, Father, and allow them, Lord, to the opportunity to join us in the next appointed time. We ask, Father, that if it be thy will, place your healing hand upon them, Father, and be with those doctors and medicines so that they can get up from their sick beds, Father, and if it be thy will, that they may return to us. And those, Lord, who are unable to because of their chronic illnesses, Lord, we also ask that you comfort them, that you strengthen them during these times of need. And in the same manner, Father, for those of our brethren who have lost loved ones, Father, we also ask that you comfort them, that you strengthen them, Lord, and that you be with them, Father, during this period of this trial of bereavement. Father, be with us, thy servant. Allow me, Father, to be able to share that which I've been blessed to glean from thy word. But Father, most of all, give me the strength, the boldness, and the meekness to apply this into my daily living, so that my actions, Father, in my life may always, Father, speak loudly, and me speak louder, Father, than my own words. Father, once more, we ask for the forgiveness of our sins. We ask that you bless the teachers, Lord, who have made the time and have devoted, Father, their effort and attention to teaching these young minds and teaching, Father, the respective classes. That all of us, Father, may always do so with a loving heart and may always do so, Father, seeking to honor thee. We pray this not because we're worthy, Father, but we do it in the glorious and precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So, typically, on the first Sunday of the year, we make an effort or we try to begin the subject matter that has been assigned by our eldership. But today I'd like to do a little bit different. I'd like for us to take a break before we even begin, if you will. Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Open your Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 6. And we're not going to read it all because of time. But we do want to read something that is important for us. And I want us to read this as a way of perhaps setting goals for ourselves. Now, before we read, what is the word that comes to your mind? To the diligent student of the Bible, what is the word that comes to your mind that you can associate with Daniel? Lions, I heard somebody say. Okay. Yes, lions. What else? I'm sorry? Strength. Okay, very good. What else? Determination. So we have the lions, which we can say is adversity. We see strength that is shown on behalf of Daniel in the moment of adversity, but we also see determination, right? And perhaps the word determination is from the word that we find in the book of Daniel, purpose, right? Daniel purposed in his heart. But I want us this morning to use this word in our own lives. I want us to take advantage in the opportunity of the fact that today is the first Sunday of a new year. Now I want you to think about that term, because it's a new year because there's much that we don't know is going to be happening. There is many new challenges, but we should, like Daniel, purpose in our heart how we're going to approach this year. And it's interesting because in chapter 6, we see just exactly how Daniel's purpose never really changed. How it was Daniel's purpose that gave him the determination, how it was Daniel's purpose that gave him the strength, and how it was Daniel's purpose that allowed him to conquer his adversaries, to conquer, if you will, his adversity. And in chapter 6, if you will, please go with me to chapter 10, to chapter 6, verse 10, excuse me. We begin our reading there at verse 10. It says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early day." There's a lot we can unpack from this one verse this morning. And again, this is what many times we can call as a one-off, right? But who remembers what had happened here in chapter 6? It has to do with the lions that someone mentioned, right? Brother? So we see then that they targeted prayer, didn't they? His enemies, his adversaries, targeted prayer. Why do you think that is? Okay. Now, I'm going to ask the following question with what our brother just said. Our brother said they knew his routine. They knew his devotion to God. How did they know? His actions. Dare we say his example. What example is that? What kind of man was Daniel? Which? Constant confidence in God. So he was a devoted man, right? But how did Daniel's devotion show or exhibit itself before his own enemy that even they could not ignore? He didn't stop, but before he didn't stop, what did he do? What did they target? They targeted prayer, didn't they? Did you pay attention to that? When you read verses 1 through 9, you read that they specifically target prayer. What is prayer? So what were they cutting off? In a battle and in a war, what is a key strategy of the enemy? Cut off all communication between HQ, or the general who is giving instructions, and the battalion that is in the midst in the heat of the battle. What was taken out of school first? So what was taken from our children? Communication with God. Satan's always targeting prayer, isn't he? He's always targeting our communication with our God. And it's interesting because, you know, and I want to make sure that everyone understands I'm not making a criticism here, but rather I'm going to make an observation. You know, we want more song. We have events exclusively for singing. We many times in certain congregations have an entire Wednesday or an entire Sunday dedicated, an entire service dedicated to only sing, and it's good. Singing spiritual songs is a way of learning. It's a way of teaching. But I've always wondered, and I've always thought to myself, is that really how we're treating song? Is that really how we're approaching when we go to these events or when we establish them? They're beautiful. They promote harmony. They promote joy. But shouldn't every act of worship do the same? Very seldomly, and I'm not going to say never, I personally haven't seen it yet, but very seldomly do you hear about an event dedicated exclusively to prayer. Very seldomly do we focus on choosing a Wednesday night only for prayer, or a fifth Sunday night or a fifth Sunday morning only for prayer. Well, the question then becomes, why is that? Why is that? Well, I submit to you, it's because many times the way we view prayer is as boring, as tedious. Singing is more interactive, we say. Singing is fun. In fact, observe that denominations, very, very seldomly do they target prayer, but when it comes to songs, well, that's where they really make sure that they bring in the cymbals and they bring in the sounds and they bring in the entertainment value. But have you noticed that the denominations understand and know that prayer is not as appealing? But yet here in the book of Daniel, we see the power of prayer. We see how Daniel, when he purposed in his heart, he was demonstrating this commitment, this devotion that somebody mentioned, this determination, by the fact that he prayed every day. How many times? 3 times a day, and that's in that location. We got to understand it doesn't mean that Daniel only prayed 3 times a day. It means that he had set apart 3 times a day, 3 hours, if you will, or 3 minutes, or however you want, 3 slots during the day, Daniel had set apart that belonged to God. That there were times where he and God would have a conversation. Studying the Word of God is important. Singing to our God in praise is important. Remembering the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior, His Son, is important. But prayer is just as important. When we see this, brethren, notice that Daniel, in chapter 1, if you will, and I know that you've read this with me before, or you've read this before on your own, but in chapter 1, we all know verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now notice the following verse. Now God Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuch. Well, why did God provide Daniel this goodwill with the chief of the eunuch? Where was Daniel at this time? Was he at home in Jerusalem? What had just happened to Daniel? He had been taken captive. He had been taken from his home. Why was he taken captive? Because of the sins of those leaders, right? Because of the sins of the people. Because of God's righteous punishment that he had prophesied for several years that they ignored. Daniel, if you will, in chapter 1, verse 8, was going to begin a new year. This was going to be a new experience for him. No longer were things going to be the same. He was no longer going to be in Jerusalem. Soon after Daniel's captivity, a couple of decades later, the temple was going to be destroyed. The same king whom he now was going to serve was also going to be the one to destroy the temple that for the Jews meant a lot. But Daniel, brethren, chose to approach his new beginning. He chose to approach this new horizon that he was perceiving by setting his focus on more of the same. Now, from chapter 1 to chapter 6, how many years have passed? A lot of years, right? We tend to think of Daniel in chapter 6 as a man who was very young still. We think that this is still the young Daniel that had arrived in Babylon. But when you go to chapter 6, notice verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. What kingdom did Darius belong to? The Medes and the Persians. Do you remember the statue that this same Daniel saw? Were the Medes and the Persians the same kingdom that Daniel was taken into captivity? No. It was a different kingdom. So then, this means that very likely, about 60 to 70 years had passed. Daniel was already up there in age, wasn't he? Did his purpose change? No. Because what did we read in verse 10? The last part of verse 10. It says, prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. What did Daniel do before he spoke to the chief of the eunuchs based on this passage? He prayed. He never stopped praying. Daniel never held it against God that he was losing his home. Daniel never held it against God that he was being taken a prisoner. Very likely Daniel, we could say, was not part of the problem of Jerusalem. He was probably not an idol worshiper as his compatriots were. But Daniel understood and he accepted why the will of God had to be done. But he did not hold it against God. But instead, as they say, when the going gets tough, Daniel braced himself. He doubled down and held on even tighter to the hand of the Almighty. It was a new beginning in chapter 1. Here in chapter 6, we see that once again, Daniel is in a new beginning. It's a new king. It's a new royal court. It's a new kingdom. Things have all changed again. Daniel didn't know if the favor that he had with Nebuchadnezzar and then the other kings that came after Nebuchadnezzar was going to be the same with the Medes-Persians. He didn't know. But he didn't change. He, as the old saying goes, didn't fix what didn't need fixing, right? Brethren, when we talk about Daniel and we read that word purpose, we need to understand the depth of it. And this is why I'm choosing to start this first day of the year with this reflection, if you will. Because one thing that is very popular on day one of the new year is what? Resolutions. And what happens with those resolutions around the 10th day of the year? They're currently forgotten, right? Well, what does that say about us if that's the case? There's no determination. There's no strength. And the lions devour. The lions of disillusion. The lions of complacency, conformity. The lions of laziness, sluggishness. But why? Why is that? Because the resolution was made without a purpose, wasn't it? We have no foundation, no solid foundation to stand on. Have you noticed that, and I'm going to use the most popular resolution, have you noticed that losing weight usually only is taken seriously when our health is now in danger? When we are told that if we don't lose weight, we're going to have a heart attack, or we're going to develop diabetes, or something that is very scary. Then and only then do we purpose in our heart to eat better, to live better, and to exercise. Sometimes not even then. But notice that Daniel didn't pray because he was taken into captivity. What this passage is telling us in chapter 6, verse 10 is that Daniel was doing it even when he was still in Jerusalem. Even before he was taken prisoner by Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel was a man of prayer. Daniel was always a man determined to keep the communication flowing between him and, as verse 10 says it, and I love the way it says it, his God. Before his God. For Daniel, this was personal. For Daniel, this was time that he had dedicated to have fellowship with his God. When do we pray, brother? How often do we pray? And are we praying with purpose? Go with me to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It's interesting how James uses trials and tribulations as a way of bringing in the concept or the lesson, the doctrine of prayer. Verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Notice verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. In verses 2 through 4, we see Daniel, don't we? We see Daniel. Daniel counted it. He counted his situation as a joy. When Nebuchadnezzar had that dream and he wanted to test his wise men, and he wanted to test his astronomers, and he wanted to test all those who claim to know about the mystical realm, right? Because we all know that Babylon was a very, very idolatrous nation, a kingdom, right? But it's interesting, and again, it's curious how Nebuchadnezzar always had his doubts. Because he puts them to the test. Okay, not only do you have to tell me what the dream means, but you have to tell me what I dreamt. You claim to see into the future. You claim that you speak to the gods. Well, let them reveal to you, what did I dream? What did Daniel do? He told him what he had dreamt? He did just that. But what did Daniel do? When this was placed as a challenge, what did Daniel do along with his three friends? They prayed. They prayed. Why did they pray? Did Daniel hide this from Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar wanted to give him the credit, remember? Nebuchadnezzar wanted to tell him that he had discovered it and that he truly was a wise man, but Daniel immediately told him, oh no, great king, the God in heaven who created heaven and earth, it is he who revealed it to him. And then pay attention to the fact that the interpretation, Daniel also tells Nebuchadnezzar, he is also the one who sent you the dream. He was responding to your curiosity. Daniel counted it a joy. He counted it a joy. When we read this scripture of saying counted it a joy, we misunderstand and we think it as in terms of, I can't cry, I can't be scared, I cannot be concerned, I have to smile and act as if nothing is happening. That's not what the passage is saying. Because if that were the case, then the context would not be talking about prayer. The context would not be talking about verse 5 of acknowledging that we need wisdom to be able to handle the situation, to be able to solve or resolve the problem. No, what it refers to when it says count it all joy is how we perceive the situation. Are we going to perceive it as a stumbling block, or are we going to perceive it as a stepping stone? You know, a very magnificent lesson that I learned while I was off is that happiness, like sorrow, is a choice. I can choose to be grateful to God during my sorrow and see it as an opportunity to bring glory to God. Or I can choose to be sad and to dwell in sorrow and in pain and then let that transform into resentment and anger and blame God. See, when it says to count it joy, notice verse 3, how it tells us the purpose of the joy. Because you've been given an opportunity. You have been provided an opportunity where your faith is about to produce patience. And this patience, verse 4, is about to have its perfect work. When Daniel entered Babylon, he prayed. When Daniel was confronted with this outlandish challenge that Nebuchadnezzar provided, he prayed. He had experience, didn't he? He had a lot of practice. Because he didn't just pray when there was trials and tribulations. Once again, Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says that he prayed as was his custom since the early days. Because he was always in constant communication with his father, because he was always in constant communication with his God, as scripture says, Daniel was confident that God knew everything that was going on. And he was confident that God would be there with him. But Daniel didn't just pray when he was in problem. Daniel didn't just turn to prayer as a rescue, as a plea for a rescue. He understood that this was a communication that was building and strengthening the bond between him and the Almighty. In verse 5, brethren, notice that when we practice an avid life of prayer, when we are constantly praying as the Bible commands us to do, we then will have the confidence and we then will find the strength to ask a favor of our Father, to turn to Him and ask Him for help. How many of us are willing to ask someone we do not know for help? How many of us would be willing to go to a stranger and ask him for a loan? How many of us would be willing to ask them to open their home or to lend us their car? Very seldomly people do that, right? So usually to whom do we turn to when we have these needs and we ask for? Who do we go to? Strangers or people that we barely know? Or do we turn to friends? People that we've built relationships with. People that we've gotten to know by always fellowshipping together. Those bonds of friendship that are strengthened, where we know each other well enough, so we feel that trust and we feel that comfortability, turn to them and say, hey, you know, sorry to bother you, but you know me. You know I usually wouldn't do this, and I don't just look for you when I need something. But I do need your help right now. It's a lot easier when there's been a relationship that's been built. It's a lot easier to get out of that comfort zone and to be able to ask for help, because in asking for help, we're also admitting that we're lacking something, aren't we? Observe in verse 5 that we lack wisdom. We're acknowledging if we're turning to God and we're asking Him for the opportunity to grow, well, then we're acknowledging that we need more training. That we need more work. But Daniel didn't pray for wisdom, did he? Even though they had written that law against him, and even though he knew that his enemies had written it as a target to him, why did Daniel pray? Did he pray in response to the unjust law? Let's go back to Daniel chapter 6. He prayed because that was his custom. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. You know, brethren, this is why I love doing what we're doing right now. Because when we stop and we start to consider the text carefully, we see things that perhaps we didn't see before. If we just read it and you don't stop to read it carefully and look at the punctuation and look at the grammar and look at the words, well, you can probably make the mistake of thinking that Daniel prayed in response to the law. That's not what the scripture is saying. In fact, Daniel's response to the law is demonstrated by a period. What was Daniel's response to the law? He just went home. Notice once again, 10a. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. That period denotes what in grammar? It denotes an end, doesn't it? It means that it's not only the end of a sentence, but in this case, it also means that it's the end of a thought. Following the period, we see the word and. That word is showing a certain relationship but it's denoting a different action. His reaction to the unjust law that was signed by Darius was, I'm going to go home. He didn't go argue with the king. He didn't go try to convince the king that these men were simply doing it to get back at him. He had no proof, did he? The king decided that the arguments that these satraps had made were logical. And therefore, Daniel understood that the moment was not the most wise to approach the situation. So because Daniel understood, having a lot of practice being in Babylon, right? Daniel knew that like times before God had delivered him, God too would deliver him from this situation. Because when he prays, what was the specificity of his prayer? Well, we know one thing for sure. He knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks. We don't know what else he prayed for. It would be unwise for me to say that he didn't pray for the situation. The Bible's not denying that either. But what we are seeing is that it was not what prompted him to pray. He prayed as was his custom since his early days. And what is showing us is that since the earliest days, it was always Daniel's custom to give thanks to God. Three times a day, 7 days a week, that's 21 prayers minimum a week. 21 times minimum, Daniel bowed his knees to thank God. Whether he was in adversity or not, he made sure to thank God. And then what do we read in chapter 1, verse 9? What did God do with Daniel in chapter 1, verse 9? He gave him, put him with in goodwill with the eunuch, the chief of the eunuchs, remember? Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I will tell you that one thing that seems has not changed in 2024 is that time is always the preacher's adversary. We got about 10 minutes already. Colossians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 1, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Now notice verse 7. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it. How? With thanksgiving. Do we have reason to be grateful to God, brethren? Absolutely. Gratitude is a foundation of our faith. Gratitude, as our brother was saying, is how we honor God. We this morning are here because we are grateful with God, not because we have to be. Coming begrudgingly is not a grateful attitude. It's an ungrateful one. And when we only turn to God and we pray to him when we are in trial and in tribulation, that is not a grateful approach to our communication with God. We should want to speak to him because there is not enough words in all the languages of the world that can express how truly grateful we are or we should be, for what he has done, what he does, and what he will. For Daniel, he did not stop thanking God just because there were enemies who wanted to cut off the lines of communication. They tapped the phone lines, if you will. Daniel had nothing to hide. He had nothing to hide because he knew that he was doing nothing wrong. He knew that his action was not in defiance to the law. It was not in rebelliousness, nor was it in response to what was going on. He simply remained faithful to God. Yes, sir.
You know, we all forget that Daniel was made a eunuch. If he was released that very day and went back to the temple, he would never enter the temple again. He made a heavy cry, yet he put that aside and was still worried.
That's a very important piece of information. Daniel gave up a lot. He lost more than just his home. Daniel could never be a father. For the Jews, especially in a time of captivity, where they pretty much, some of them, many of them that were carnally minded, believed that they would be extinct, just like their brothers up in the north, right? That was of great significance. That was a major gut punch, because family was of the utmost importance to the Jew. They took his right to be a father. They took, very likely, his right to take for himself a wife. What woman would want to marry a man who could not give her children? At that point in time, right? Do you think Daniel had reason to hold grudges against God? From our carnally mentality? Sure he did. But you see, it's not about looking at this from the carnal perspective, it's looking at it from the spiritual perspective. Daniel focused on what he was grateful for. I may be a eunuch, but I am alive. I may be a foreigner in this land, but my God came with me. And this is a platform for me to prove to Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar and all the people in the kingdom, including my own people, that the Lord God of Israel is God. So what did Daniel do? I can't thank you enough, Father. I can't thank you enough. Even in trials, even in adversity, even in a difficult situation, I'm still grateful to you. Because you did not put me in that situation, but you are with me through it all. You will go with me, of course, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. They already rang one bell on me, right? 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning there at verse 14. Chapter 4, excuse me, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our works. Every time I read verse 16 and the following verses, I can feel the pain in Paul's word. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May not be charged against them. You think Paul needed companionship in that moment? Verse 14, he's talking about a man who had done him great harm, but no one stood with him. No one was by his side. There were no brothers, there were no sisters, there were no friends. Then verse 18, But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the life. Was Paul a man of prayer? Yes, he was. Was Paul a man who had made it his custom since his early days in Christianity to always thank God? Yes, he did. What should be our purpose for 2024? Something as simple but yet powerful as praying more. Not just when we need God, but to make it our custom. To make it our dedication, our commitment. To set apart, like Daniel, 3 times a day where we can pray to simply converse with our God. To pray to say thank you. Thank you because even though I'm going through difficult times, there you are with me. You stand with me when everyone else forsakes. Our time is up. Thank you for your attention, and God bless each and every one of you.